Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mike, how do you handle the week with the Saturday game?
Well, we're on a six-day week. It'll be very similar to the Houston week. So today is a Tuesday on our clock. So tomorrow will be a Wednesday. We'll bring the players in later, do some, you know, the lifting and strength conditioning and some prehab, and then we'll get going. So we'll do normal D&D, and third down we'll stay inside. You know, we won't go to Hudson same as we did that week. So our schedule will be very similar to the Houston week.
How does this affect what you do with Aaron this week? Similar to last week, you think? Or?
Well, just with us really taking the 6-day approach with, as I said, the Houston week schedule. You know, Wednesday will be a Thursday, so our practice there will be later in the day. Hope it doesn't screw up your guys' Christmas shopping, because I know Demoski is behind from what I hear. So we're going to practice later Wednesday, but the extent of that will really, frankly, will be what we find out today and tomorrow, just where our guys are, you know, medically. So,
how do you think he came through yesterday?
The early indication is he's better today than he was going into the game. So that we feel good about that.
Hey, Mike, when did you start to plot your late season practice schedule? As soon as the schedule came out, because you knew with the early Thursday game, the early bye, you were going to have to do something different. I'm just wondering what the thought process was behind it, because it seems obviously you were.
Well, through the spring, we laid it out, you know, after just Matt Klein and I go through the schedule, and we kind of like lay out, just project it, and and once, you know, he gets all the traveling done, what time you think you're going to get back and so forth, you factor in the administrative application to it. And then over the summer, we hit it one more time before camp starts and really dissect it, and particularly the stretch here. You know, obviously having the early bye week, and then also playing on Thursday night football that early. Also, we having this long 10-week stretch, we knew there were some stress points. So we have a kind of an A and a B plan that we lay out, project the season, and really where we are medically is decides which way we go. So there's a lot of information we get from, you know, our nutritionist, you know, strength coach Mark Lovatt's very much involved in workload, capacity, and how it applies to not only the team but by position and most importantly by player.
Them come in later on certain days is beneficial.
Yes, you know, sleep in, enjoy the sunlight, you know, the little that we have, maybe get them out of here a little early, things like that.
Mike, I know a lot of stuff happened at the end of that game, but the fact that you bring a couple of guards in, basically cold, no pun intended, and the operation goes as smoothly as it is, how does that happen? How does that work?
Coaching. No, I mean, I tell you, I can't say enough about just the whole boundary operation. Just A, being on top of it, you know, the communication network, the players, you know, just being right there where they're supposed to be, guys going in, coming out, keeping it going, so that, you know, to have two guys go down and then to be in that position, because obviously you're coming off a big play, you don't have any timeouts, so you have to kill the clock there. And, you know, I was communicating, I should say, because I was worried about, you know, getting a penalty with a 10-second runoff threat right there. So, but I thought our boundary management and our players handled the substitution very well.
TJ and Lane, what's the prognosis? They seemed okay after.
TJ, I know they're still evaluating, just because I just swung through the training room to come in here, and I think Lane's gonna be fine too. I mean they're, you know, they're going to put him through some tests too, but I don't have any high concern right now for either one of those guys.
You mentioned that runoff. Can you go through the thinking there on that 3rd and 11? Excuse me. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there between a runoff and you guys had to convert a 3rd down a while.
Well, we had time to talk about it. Aaron came over, and you know, the suggestion was just to let it run down and go into overtime, but. Alex and Pelt and I said I like to play call, and let's you know take a shot at it. And you can see he didn't break him out of the huddle immediately, so we kind of played it where we're going to leave, was whatever how many seconds were, the full time on the clock if we didn't convert. So, but with that, you know, protection, you know, the route combination and really Jordy, you know, setting that angle where Aaron can throw him open, it's obviously a great throw. So, execution and I think the biggest play was, like we've already talked about, you know, not only after the completion of the play, but just getting it all coordinated, make sure we had 11 and getting Aaron taking the play clock down there to 3 seconds and then setting it up for Mason's two kicks.
Hey, Mike, a lot of Jared Cook's production came on third down. What is it about him that makes him particularly good in that situation?
Well, Jared Cook is a matchup concern. I think that's obvious this way when you line them up in different spots, how they react to him. So when he, you know, they go to the first, third, and three there, and, you know, the matchup he has on a corner route. So, you know, Aaron, you know, actually escapes the rusher and gets to him because, you know, those are the types of things. And I think it was very evident when he first came back down there in Washington, you know, when they give you those opportunities for those matchups. I mean, he's a tough guy to handle.
You guys maybe need to get him a little more consistently involved in the pass game, or is that more dictated by game plan and matchups from week to week?
You're right. You guys need to leave your fantasy league things out of the press conference. Okay, I'll try to get him the ball more. Okay.
You've been talking about how much you like this team lately, about the locker room, everything else.
Yes.
Did you find anything else out about them that you didn't already know yesterday?
I mean, the resiliency's been there all year. You know, just the maturity, I would say. And the only reason I say that is, you know, we had a meeting with the equipment department, and just on some other things. And, you know, going into the game, you go into these cool weather games, you obviously have things you're getting done on the sideline. You know, the bench warmers and this and that. You know, when you go on the road, obviously the quality here at Lambeau is, you know, we have the best of the best. And so just going through all those different things. And, you know, the comment was, of all the games that we played, these guys handled it seamlessly. You know, they got in there early. They took the tarp off late. You know, everybody got out there, checked their shoes, and so I was just trying to give you an honest answer. So the maturity of these guys, you know, particularly, it really speaks to your veterans, because for as much as you try to cover these types of things, you know, in the team meetings and in detail, your veteran guys are the ones that say, hey, you know, make sure you look at this, and because, you know, we have a lot of guys that was their first game playing down there at Soldier Field, and the field was in great shape, because you know you just don't know what to expect all the time, especially when a tarp comes off that late. So I just thought they've handled the whole, you know, prep. That's really part of the preparation going into that game, and because we knew it was going to be a tough game, and so I would say maturity.
So you don't bring your own heaters; you have to rely on the home team to provide them.
Well, just I think that's really a personal preference. I mean, there's an operation to that, and we don't have really enough time to get into all that.
Okay. Hey, Mike, can you talk about the play at the goal line by Micah, just how he was able to make that play, and, you know, there was a potential for distraction with LaTroy and what was
going
on there.
Yeah, we had, obviously had a substitution miscommunication there going in. We had a one-for-one substitution, and the one that came out wasn't supposed to come out, or the two came out and one going in. So, but LaTroy playing heads, you know, being heads up, running down the sideline, you know, with not getting the, you know, the offsides there. But yeah, really, Micah is clearly a very instinctive player. So I'd say the route combination, you know, the recognition of that, and really just holding his coverage and making a break on the ball. So, you know, obviously a big play, and you know, I think that play speaks volumes about our defense, especially after the way that fourth quarter was going.
Ask you about that fourth quarter. You know, how did they get on their heels, and how hard was it for them to kind of finally come up with that stop?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, the passing game was you know, the way to go. You know, I mean, if you're going to throw the ball, I mean, that's when you plan that. The surface is a little soft, so I think the pass rushers, if you talk to those guys, that, you know, you don't really have the first step that you normally have. So, and with that, I think we gave them some soft coverage opportunities. You know, the run solution throws were there, and I think that, you know, kind of they had a number of just outbreaking routes. The individual cuts we didn't handle very well. So, and they, you know, they got some momentum and were moving the sticks. You know, they, I thought they did a good job staying, mixing the run and the pass. They didn't just go to more of a wide open throwing the ball. You know, it probably had a lot to do with the way, you know, we were playing with the number of turnovers there, you know, in the three turnovers in the third quarter. So it's something that we got to take a close look at. We have as a staff, we'll look at it tomorrow with our players. But, you know, throwing the ball, you know, in this climate is definitely different. And it's different for your pass rush and definitely for your coverage unit.
Mike, you guys have been chasing for a while now. How different does it feel to be in control of your own destiny from here on out?
Well, control your own destiny is what you want, but, you know, really the only time I've talked about playoffs is, you know, I hit them again with it, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, 10 wins, you know, so, and that's really all we've really focused on. We know we're at 8, we have to get to 9, and then obviously, you know, next week I'll be answering the question the same way. So just really, not to be cliche-ish, but just staying true to what's right in front of us. The challenges in itself of the scheduling have been plenty to focus on. Just trying to find out who's going to be healthy, who's not, that's been a challenge each week. And being on a six-day schedule is a challenge. So we don't really need to, you know, waste any time thinking about all the other stuff. And I think that's good for us. It keeps us focused on beating the Vikings Saturday, and that's all that matters.
Back to the pass coverage. Any concern with Demarius? Obviously, he'd come up a really good game, and then not so much like
this. Well, I think when we sit down and watch the tape with him, I mean, there's things that, you know, he'll learn from. So, you know, there's times where you want coverage. You know, there's a reason why you have alignments and assignments on everything you do, offense, defense, and special teams, and we need to be more detailed.
Two more, please.
Hey, Mike, I know obviously you look at Ty's game, you know, and what he did, but when you got Kristen in there, that 42-yarder, what did you see on that? How big was that play?
Well, Kristen, I think he really shows you his natural running ability because, I mean, it was a we call it pattern scheme, and it was a really good defensive front that we knew we needed to go at him a different way, and we did. We had a lot of production doing it, and with that, there's got to be a little more patience by the runner, and he has to really do a good job setting particularly their front side down block on their defensive tackles because, you know, their ends – outside linebackers are very talented. So if in that particular play you see Chris did a really good job of that, then boom, when he hits that second level and then the natural run instincts take over. So you could definitely see his burst, his vision, you know, to make the cut to the left and obviously his excellent open field speed to finish it. So I think you got a good, really good picture of his natural run ability.
Ty to break tackles. I mean, not just a quick guy, he's a powerful guy too.
Well, I think if you look at the way he's built in his talent, he's in his patience. I mean, really, a lot of times, you know, the guys that do the great runners, you know, the ball or yards after the catch, yards after contact, is the ability to stay patient and keep stepping through those tackles, especially on that type of surface. So he's a lot stronger than I think people realize. I know he wears number 88. But he's, you know, he's not your normal 88 when it comes to running the football, that's for sure.
Just quick back to Micah. He always says he's a football player and he talks about his instincts. Mm-hmm. On the Hail Mary, is he supposed to be boxing out the tight end there where he's coming for the deflection and gets the interception? Is that by design?
I'll be honest, just I did not watch the defensive video yet, so we jumped right on to Minnesota. I watched the offense on the plane last night, so I can't give you a detailed answer to that.
You know, on the Montgomery and Michael questions, do you guys chart missed tackles?
And absolutely.
I figured, so you've been
in the offense. How many did you have? I'm just curious.
I had 16.
Yeah.
I think we
had 19.
Is that maybe the most? Yeah, I have no idea if you ever compare them.
19 is a big day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge day. So, yeah, those guys obviously had a lot of them.